Praise God. He's our healer, isn't it? Amen. All right, so the healing team table, just in case you have somebody who needs prayers, so there'll be a healing table, healing team table outside the foyer. You can pass through there and you can talk to them and they'll see what they can do with you. All right, so I have an announcement. Pastor Moffat mentioned that there's construction that is will take place tomorrow, starting tomorrow, the 15th of July, at the South Block, which is the next gen. So due to the construction, M-Kids classes will move to the following locations. Just take note of that. Classroom 1 will be the Explorers. Explorers, that's 3 to 5. Class 1 is the one, the big room that is down at the back. Classroom 2 will be for the Voyagers, which is 6 to 7. And classroom, they are up there. Classroom 3 is for the Achievers, which is 8 to 9. And Mini Hub Trailblazers, which is 10 to 11. And the Mini Hub, which is for Fusion, the special needs, will be in the Mini Hub. So just take note of that. All right. We'll continue with our sermon series on the book of Hebrews. And today we'll look at Jesus, the better sacrifice. Jesus, the better sacrifice. And we see in the book of Hebrews, the writer mentions better 11 times. Better 11 times throughout the book. He mentions superior 4 times. And greater, he mentions it about 7 times. So we see that in the book. And so Jesus, like we heard a couple of weeks ago, is that Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than the prophets. And so last week we also heard that Jesus is greater. Is greater, is our greater high priest. So today we'll continue and we'll look at Jesus as the better sacrifice. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, Father, we ask that, you know, the Holy Spirit is our teacher and he comes to teach us. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you teach us all things. You show us, you guide us, you give us insight. And we pray that, Father, we will lay hold of this information and we will put it in practice and that it will change our lives and bring glory to your name. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. So a quick summary of just what Pastor Walker mentioned about the greater high priest is that the priesthood of Jesus precedes and translates the earthly priesthood. Why? Number 2 is because Jesus existed before the priesthood was established, the Levitical priesthood. He existed under the order of Melchizedek. So we see, basically that's what we see there. And now permit me to begin our study today, our sermon today, with a simple exercise. Just a simple exercise. I want you to, if you've come with your Bible, get your Bible. If you've come with your Bible, if you have a Bible on your phone, it'll be very difficult for this exercise. And that is why we ask you to come with a hard copy Bible. So get your Bible and turn with me to the book of Matthew. Just go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. It's an elementary exercise, very simple exercise. All right. So sometimes we take it for granted that everybody knows. Some people don't know. So if you read, if you see there the book of Matthew, chapter 1, if you hang left on the other side, you see the book of Malachi. Okay. And some Bibles have a blank there, but other Bibles will just continue. So you see it from Malachi to Genesis. This is what they call the Old Testament. You're laughing, right? This is what is called the Old Testament. It's also referred to as the Old covenant, the old covenant. And from Matthew to Revelation is also called the New Testament, which is also referred to as the New Covenant. Now, the Old Testament or the Old Covenant was based on a system, a system of rules, a system of laws, a system of animal sacrifice. That's what the Old Testament was all about. So for you to approach God, you had to use this system. You don't just approach God without the system of laws, the system of sacrifice, and the system of regulations. Now, the New Testament is not based on a system. It's based on a Savior. So we approach God not through a system. We approach God through the Savior. Now, you see in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see also some parts of the old, because the transition is happening right now in order for the new to be established. Okay? So we approach God through the Savior. Now, the whole book, the whole Bible is about a Savior, essentially. But how we approach God is through the Savior. Through the Savior. So when we see that it is through the Savior, we hear scriptures like Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says, through him let us offer sacrifice to God, which is our lips of Savior, fruit of our lips. So we see it that way, that it is through him that we offer praise to God. We see scriptures like John, in fact, Jesus himself said it in John chapter 10, verse 9. It says, I am the door, and anyone who enters through me will be saved. So it's through him. And you see scriptures like Romans 11:36. It says, for from him and through him and for him all things consist. So it shows you that the whole book is all about the Savior. And now we go through the book of the New Covenant through the Savior. Does that help? So let's get started from there. So we see that we approach the throne of God through the Savior. Now, today we're going to spend more time on how Jesus is referred to as a better sacrifice. But before we get there, let's spend a few minutes just to wrap up on what Pastor Walker talked about last week in the book of Hebrews chapter 8. And let's get started from Hebrews chapter 8. We'll read a few verses, then we'll concentrate much of our time in the next chapter. So Hebrews chapter 8. We'll start reading from verse 1. Let's get started. If you are there with your Bible, say, All right. So now the point in what we are saying is this. We have a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true temple, the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. So pause there. So you see that Jesus is seated. In the old covenant under the tabernacle, there was no chair in the holy places. Why there was no chair is because the minister or the high priest had to stand throughout when he's offering sacrifices. Now, the one that is heavenly, Jesus, he says, Jesus is where? He's seated. Why is he seated? Because the work is finished. I tell my children, I says, don't sit and eat until you finish your work. So it's the principle of what Jesus is showing us there, that you only sit when you are finished working. All right? So he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now what is he doing seated? He's a minister. He's a minister. He's doing ministry. He's a high priest representing who? Representing us. Remember when Jesus came on earth, he was called Emmanuel, right? Meaning God with us. So when he was down here, he came to represent God to us. But in heaven, he represents us to God. Wow. That changes everything. That you have a greater high priest who represents you and who represents me. So we see it that way. So he's seated and he's ministering. So let's go to verse 3. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since they are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Remember, God told Moses and says, build this tabernacle according to the pattern that I'm going to show you. That is in heaven. So for when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that I was shown to you on the mountain. So a quick summary there, you see that the Levitical order of priesthood served heaven, the earthly setting, in the earthly settings, whereas Jesus ministers in the heavenly setting. Okay. So verse 6 says, but as it is, Jesus has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. So the meaning that there's a change of priesthood, there must be a change of covenant. Because the priest is different, is under a different order. So the old way of approaching God has ceased. Rhodesia does not exist, right? Well, you're not in Rhodesia anymore. So the laws of Rhodesia, the way they did things in Rhodesia is gone. It doesn't exist. You are now in Zambia. So there's a certain way we do things. All right. So now he says it's based on what? It's enacted on based on better promises. Better promises. Now here we see that the old had promises, but the promises were all based on the physical. That is why when you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, you see everything about those blessings is all physical. He says, I'll bless your house. I'll bless your cattle. I'll bless the field. I'll bless your workers. Everything is physical. It's from the old, Rhodesia. Now, you are in Zambia. The new covenant is based on better promises. Why is it better promises? Because it's better because it's internal and it's spiritual. Spiritual. This is what you read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? With every spiritual blessings. Where? In the heavenly places. So you've been blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing. And that is why it is better. That is why it's better. Everything's or physical things are temporal. Temporal. Start here, tomorrow they finish. Even if you buy, the moment you buy a brand new vehicle from the showroom, even if you bought it $1 million US dollars, the moment you drive it, depreciation has started. You cannot sell it at $1 million anymore. The same day, you cannot sell it $1 million. You have to drop it maybe to $900. Because they are all temporal. They're all temporal. So now we see there. So why is Jesus better? Why is Jesus a better sacrifice? So let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. And we'll spend our time and our study together in those two books of chapters. 11, verse 11 says, but Jesus came as a high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that for those who are called may receive the promise of what? Eternal inheritance. Pause there. Let's pause there. Let's stop there. So what we've read, I didn't read chapter verse 1 up to verse 10 because of time. What we read there is in Leviticus chapter 16. We're told the other time, Pastor Walker actually mentioned that, says go read Leviticus chapter 16. How many of us read Leviticus chapter 16? Few hands. Few hands. Just read. It will help you to understand this covenant that you are in now. All right. So in that book, it is actually the Day of Atonement. So what is Hebrews is talking about is the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. Now, the Day of Atonement, today, the Jewish people, they celebrate it. They still observe it. It's called Yom Kippur. It's celebrated on the 10th day in the 7th month of the Jewish calendar, Tishrei. So the 7th month is called Tishrei. So they celebrate it during that period. They say the Passover, the Day of Atonement is the last feast of the Jews, of all the feasts. The first feast we'll talk about later on is the feast of Passover, Pesach. It's done in the first month of the Jewish calendar, which is called Nisan. Okay, that's when they celebrate the first feast. But this last one is the last one. It's completing the whole feast, meaning that it is finished. That was why Jesus comes to atone our sins, to show us, fulfilling scripture, that it is finished. It is done. The first one, he is the Passover, to show us that he is the what? The beginning. That is why we say he is the beginning and he is the end, fulfilling scripture. If you want to read about that, you see it in Exodus chapter 12. That's where you read the Passover and how that was created. Okay, so now, the Day of Atonement, the high priest, once in a year, on the day, the 10th day of the 7th month, he enters into the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle. So he enters in there. He doesn't enter with everybody else. He goes by himself. So he gets the bull, kills the bull, and he enters the holies of holies when he goes with the blood of the bull to present before God. So he goes in there. He has to carry incense because the incense has to cover the mercy seat. Otherwise, the incense is a type of prayer. If he doesn't, he'll be killed. So he enters in there with the blood of the bull. And while he's there, he begins to sprinkle with his fingers 7 times on the mercy seat. 7. He sprinkles 7 times. Again, 7. What is 7? Completion. So everything is about being completed. Everything. The heavens, when God created the heavens and the earth, how many days did it take? 7th day, completion. So it's all completion. So those numbers are critical in the Jewish mindset. So he sprinkles 7 times on the mercy seat with his fingers. Now, the crowd outside are listening because he has a bell when he's inside. So when he's moving and coming out, they are listening. So he comes out What he was doing there, he was atoning. To atone is to cover. Kapa in Hebrew. Kapa, K-A-P-H-A-R. Kapa, so to cover. All right? So he's covering his sins. So he covers his sins. So let's assume these in this bucket there are my sins of a high priest. Okay. So he covers his sins with the blood of the bull. He covers it. So once he covers it, then he goes out. The people outside are listening and they're saying, wow, our priest is alive. So if our priest is alive, it means what? We are good. But not necessarily. That's the first part. Because he's forgiven. It means sometimes they are not forgiven. So he has to do it for the second time. Now he's atoning for who? For the people. So he brings the two goats. Okay, stay with me. I see some people are losing it. Stay with me. So he brings the two goats. The first goat, he kills it. And he takes the blood and he enters into the holy place again, the holies of holies, and does the same way he did, sprinkles the blood on the mercy seat to obtain what? Mercy for the people. To obtain mercy. So he has obtained mercy. Come out. When he comes out, there's a second goat. Now he's going to lay his hands on the second goat. So once he lays hands on the second goat, he's going to pronounce the sins of himself and the sins of the people. Lord, we envied somebody's car. Lord, we did this. So they're busy confessing on the goat, the sin. And the goat is now released. Somebody has to take the goat and take it into the wilderness. There, they make sure it doesn't have to come back. Alright, so they take it. And then it has to die there. Representing that the sins are now taken. Okay, so now the high priest has to come out and go to the people. And when he's with the people, he's going to call the name of God, Yahweh. Okay, he calls the name of the Lord. And when he calls on the name of the Lord, this is what he will say in Hebrew. He say, Yohevaveh. Yohevaveh. And the people will prostrate. Lie down. A symbol of saying that we've received mercy. Not because of what we've done. We're not good. But because of the innocent blood of the goat. So you begin to appreciate. That's why they're lying down. Prostrating before God. We've been forgiven. Our sins are covered. Now they are covered only for a temporal period of time. They have to do it again for a year. So now their conscience will start to eating them. And that's why we read there. Because after that, you know that we have to do these things again. So I have to remember the sins. So your sins are covered. So if we open, oh, they're there. That's the conscience is talking about. Because they're there. They're not gone. They're just covered by the blood of the bull and the blood of goats. So why is Jesus now a better sacrifice? Why is Jesus a better sacrifice? So let's get in there now to see how Jesus is a better sacrifice. Better sacrifice. So go to verse 12 of chapter 9, the one we read. Why is Jesus a better sacrifice? He entered once and for all in the holy places, not by the means of what? Not by means of God, the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood. So he does it the same way the high priest would do it, but he goes in it not with the blood of animals. He goes in the holy place with his own blood. He goes in his own blood. Heavenly, okay? He's showing us that. thus securing an eternal redemption. So number one is that we see from that scripture is that Jesus' sacrifice secures our eternal redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. Our salvation is now eternal. Once and for all, from the time Jesus died, history tells us he died in AD 33 to now AD 2024. There's no need for you to sacrifice anymore. It's done once and for all. It's eternal. It's not temporal. So once you receive Jesus, it's eternal. You've been redeemed. To redeemed, it means you've been purchased from something, from sin. Because the sin of Adam, which was in his blood, is too powerful even today. Do you know that? It's still affecting people. That's why there are some people are still, they need Jesus. Because it's still affecting them. But the blood of Jesus also gives us an eternal redemption. That one is temporal also. But this one is eternal. So once we have the blood of Jesus, how do we have the blood of Jesus? Is when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. Because he went to present us as our high priest. Remember, Jesus, his blood was not contaminated. You know that? So he's not. So he does that. So it's eternal. So he's showing us that now we have eternal redemption. So through the eternal redemption, we have direct access to God. We don't have to go through the old system. We now have direct access to God because of the blood of Jesus. Not the blood of animals. So we don't need anybody. You don't need a pastor. You don't need anybody to go through to God. All you need to go is through him, through the blood of Jesus. You have eternal salvation. Verse 14. How much more will the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from what? From dead works to serve the living God. Number two is we see the sacrifice of Jesus. Why it is better is because he purifies our conscience from dead works. He purifies our conscience from dead works. What are dead works? You're wondering, what are dead works? Any act, any religious act we do in order to earn the salvation is dead works. Any spiritual or religious act that we do in order to earn our salvation is dead works. We can't earn our salvation. It is a gift from God. It is a gift you're given. All by just accepting Jesus, you have a gift. So dead works, everything that you do. So some people say, if I'm a tither, I'm what? That's how they pray using those words. I'm a tither. And what? So because we're a tither, you think now God will hear your prayer. It's not based on you being a tither. You should tithe, but it's not based on that. God will hear your prayers because of who you are in him. Because of what Jesus did for you. Not because of your money. It's got nothing to do with your eternal salvation. So you can't use those kind of prayers. It is through him. Through him. Through him. So those are dead works. What are other things that are dead works? Dead works is anybody who has not the act, the things that we do before our conversion. Those things that we do, we give alms and all that kind of stuff. People think that, oh, he was a good man. I think because he was doing these good acts, you know, giving alms or whatever it is that he did. If you are Oprah Winfrey, like we're here right now, and every one of you, I'll give you a car. How many of you, everyone get a car? Hey! Then you say, there's no way a guy like that would go to hell. Good works. No, they are also dead works. According to God. On our eyes, they look like powerful good things. God says dead works. They're dead works. That is what it means to get. So it says you purify our conscience from dead works. You purify our conscience. We've been justified not by the law, by the system. We've been justified through the blood of Jesus. To be justified, it means to be declared right. So the judge, when you go in the court, you are full of sin. But he goes through the mediator, who is Jesus, and sees Jesus and says, he's declared right because of what I did for him. So you go scot-free. Not because of your goodness, but because of your mediator. So your conscience is clear. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, brothers, let me just open it. It says, if our heart does not condemn us, what do we have? We have peace with God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 says, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. 21 says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, what do we have confidence towards God. So it doesn't condemn us, not because we know that God has appeased our sins, has removed our sins. And so that is why our heart doesn't condemn us. It doesn't condemn us. So anything that we do, like I said, they are all dead works. There's nothing you can do, and there's nothing you cannot do that will change how God sees you. I'll say it again. There's nothing you can do, and there's nothing you cannot do in how God sees you. It's not based on you. It's based on his sacrifice, his blood. So there's nothing you can do. And there's nothing you can't do. So verse 15 says, therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgression committed under the first covenant. So number three there is that we have received the promised eternal inheritance. There's an inheritance that we'll receive. On that day, the day of judgment, there will be an inheritance. So 1 Corinthians tells us that every eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them and love him, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So there's an inheritance. So I don't know what those inheritance will look like, but the Bible talks about more of those inheritance. There will be crowns that will be given to people, but there's an inheritance. But it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard the things that God has prepared for us. Oh, they are good things that God has prepared. Good things that the Lord has prepared for us. So we have eternal inheritance. Now I want us to jump to Hebrews chapter 10 so that we see other things that the sacrifice of Jesus has done for us. So let's go to chapter 10. Just flip to the next page, or you stay on the same page. The Bible reads, it says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offered continually year after year, make those who approach perfect. So they don't make you perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have not have more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin. We talked about there's a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. It couldn't take away. It was only covering. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering he did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then he said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O Lord. Verse 8, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt sacrifice and offering of sin, you do not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O Lord. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times? Once and of all. We've been sanctified once and of all. We'll look at what sanctification is. But let's read verse 4 there. It says, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. So number 4, you see that the sacrifice of Jesus, why he's better, is that he takes away the sins. They're not covered. He comes to take away. It takes away the sins of this world. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgression from us. You cannot measure east and west. You cannot measure. The moment you reach eastern province, there's another east. So he has removed it. You are not covered anymore. Your sins are not with you. Your sin is gone, eh? Jesus has gone with them. He's taken them away. You are a free person. Who the Son of God has made free is? You are free. Oh, hallelujah. You are a free person. You have no sins with you. They've been taken away. Are you still suffering with sin issues? They've been taken away. Why are you still suffering? Says whom the Son of God has set free. Oh Lord, I'm free. I bask in my freedom. The moment I'm conscious of what Jesus did, sin has no power over me. The thing is that because you do not know what Jesus has done for you, that is why you keep on going and you're having sin issues. But the more you are conscious of him, my goodness me, everything changes. You've been set free. He says, walk in your liberty. Walk in your liberty. You've been set free. He has taken them. Are they here? No. I can't even go back. So I don't need to offer sin again. The blood of God could not do it. It's free. So Jesus has taken our sins away. That is the day of atonement. In the Hebrew, it was atoned, just covering. But Jesus came to take them away. His sacrifice is far better than those ones. Amen. He became our Passover lamb. Passover means that we've transferred our sins on him. Passover. Those of us who like going Passover on 31st of December, what are you passing over from? Think about it. What are you passing over from? Because Passover is not a date of 31st and 1st of January. Then you say it's a Passover. Change of dates. Same day, same you. Nothing has changed. Numbers have changed. You are celebrating the earth orbiting the sun. That's all you're celebrating. So sometimes when we celebrate, we are celebrating orbiting of the sun, of the earth. That's all. Are you changed yourself? Because Passover means you have changed. You're passing over from something to something else. Amen. Amen. All right. So verse 10 of the same chapter says, by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all. So Jesus' sacrifice has sanctified us. Has sanctified us. What is sanctification? What is to sanctify? To sanctify means to set apart. You've been set apart. You've been removed from everybody. It says you were of darkness. Now you've been removed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You've been set apart. You are special. You are holy. That is what it means to be sanctified. Set apart, holy. Purified. You are a saint. You don't have to do those 10 years, whatever, until you die. That's when you'll be called a saint. You are a saint now. You've been sanctified. Saint Sammy. Oh yeah, Saint Sammy. Call yourself saint something. You're also a saint. Okay? So sanctification gives us a position in Christ. So we have been sanctified. So there's a position. So that is what it means to be sanctified. So the day we give ourselves to Jesus, our position has changed. We've been sanctified. We've been separated. To live a separated life, it means to live a sanctified life. To live a sanctified life. So I was having tea a couple of days ago with some friends of mine. And so we're talking, they are lawyers. So they're telling me that, so we're saying, there's this other group of the legal fraternity that cannot be with us in this setting. Not that we're at a bad place, we're a good place, having coffee, and so just in case you... it's a good place. So we're just enjoying ourselves there. And they said, these other people, they cannot be with us. And I said, why can they be with us? Those are the judges. So if you're a judge, I don't mean to say it loosely like that. It says, they cannot be with us in such a setting with us. I says, why can't they be with us? It says, because of their position. Not that there's a law that tells them not to be in such places, because of their position. They are separated. Because of your position, you cannot be everywhere. You've been separated. No, it doesn't matter. After I'm not drinking, I'm just in this place. You have been separated. You cannot be there. You can't. No, I love the food. I used to love the food at a certain place. We cannot go there anymore. Not so sweetie. Because we've been separated. The food is nice. We miss it. But a sanctified life, it means also a sacrifice life. We cannot do the same things that we used to do before. You've been separated. So you cannot go there. You cannot do the same things you used to do. You cannot joke the same way you used to joke. I'm watching Pari. What are you learning? What are you doing? Change the channel. It's even in your hands. You can even tell the whole story of Mbali. Now we tell you, go and read Leviticus chapter 12, chapter 16. Z. Tell me about Mbali from A to Z. What are the name of the guy? Don't mention it, because otherwise we'll know that you're watching it. All right. So you've been sanctified. So even the things... And I'm serious about that. It looks like a joke. You remember there's a guy called Lotti? He says he went and lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible in 2 Peter says, chapter 2, verse 8, I think so. He says that the righteous man tormented his soul because he lived among them. He didn't participate, but he tormented his soul. And later on, you will see it in his children. When they go into, the angel comes to rescue them, they do, what do? They have incense with their father. Where did they learn it? It's just Mbali. Oh. Keep watching. Down the line, when the children do the same Mbali thing, because they saw you watching Mbali, you taught them. You didn't say anything, but you taught them. So we live a separated life. So let's end this way now. So don't unsanctify. There's a word like that. Unsanctify yourself. Don't. You have been sanctified. So let's end with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 1 to 8, it says, finally, brethren, we argue and exhort you in the name in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk, because you've been sanctified, to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification. Which is your vessel there? Your body. You cannot do cleavage the way everybody's doing it. I don't know if it's cleavage or what. What is it called? That's something. You cannot. Because your body is not your own. You've been sanctified. You've been separated. No, for who? For what for? Somebody said that. Hey, don't do those things. You've been sanctified. Your vessel possess your body. It says possess it in what? In true sanctification. Possess it. Is this honoring God? Is this honoring? What I'm wearing, is this honoring? Or is bringing a lot of... It says you be addressed the way you dress. Leave me there. So in position of last, like the Gentiles who did not know God, that no one should take advantage and defile his brother in such matters, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to what? Uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject who? Man. But rejects who? It changes everything. You're not rejecting man. It says, that's what they say at the church. No, you're not rejecting. Got nothing to do with me. You're rejecting God, who has given us the Holy Spirit. So when we get the word like that, we just say, Lord, help me. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. And see your life, those areas where there's two problems of sanctification, there's two challenges of sanctification. Just pray. Let's open your mouth. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Say, whisper something to the Lord and say, that area where I need to grow my sanctification so that I walk in your holiness, because I've been called to cleanness. Help me, Lord. Help me. Father, I pray for myself. I pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, having heard your word, that, Lord, you've called me to holiness. You've called me to cleanness. Father, I pray and ask that, Lord, those areas of my life, I know them. Father, help me to live a sanctified life. That I grow up, I become more like you in my ways, in my attitude, in my behavior. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the light in my life. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Now, if you are here, you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, with every head bowed down and no eyes looking, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've heard about what Jesus came to do, was to come and set you free. You can be set free today by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all over this place, you can lift up your hands so we can know you are here and give you this opportunity so you can move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Just lift up your hand so we can see it. Lift it high so we can see. See this hand in front of me, this side. God bless you. Oh, hallelujah. There's a at the back, there's a hand. His sacrifice came to set you free. You don't have to live with the same condemnation. You don't have to be condemned. You can live in your freedom. Just lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. If you have already lifted it, just put it down. Those who haven't, let's just lift up our hand. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. And receive the newness that is found in Jesus alone. Amen. All right. Let's stand up. Those who have lifted their hands, just let's just rise up. Let's just stand. Those of who have just lifted up their hands, just come in front. Grab your Bible, your handbag, anything that you came with to church. And come and meet me up here. And we pray together. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. Just come. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Church, let's give Him a clap. Oh, hallelujah. There's a hand this side. Just come, my sister. Let's pray. Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray as we go. Our Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the light of your word. The Bible tells us that the entrance of your word brings understanding to the simple. So, Father, thank you for your understanding. So, as we go, Lord, we pray that, Lord, will put these things in practice and in action. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.